Good to be here. And let's all turn to page 146 in this Bible book.
Afternoon, everyone. Hope having a good Sunday fellowshipping with each other. Oh, everybody stand. Apologies. We have a prayer request from Brother Ryan. They plan to go to Kentucky next weekend, so just pray for them to have a safe trip and safe transportation. Prayer request from Sister Susan. Her sister, Linda Black, is going to Augusta to be tested to see if she's a candidate for a kidney transplant. And she will be traveling to South Carolina to get
Mama
tomorrow. Sister Marunga has a prayer request they have a testimony that they had a safe journey to and from their trip. Thank you for all your prayers. Sarah got lost for 30 seconds, but a Disney guard had her... I can't read that. Almost drowned at the SeaWorld water park, but was there and... sorry, I can't read that either. Picked her up. Swim lessons. Paraquest for Sister Christine's Aunt Violetta. She's in the hospital to have a tumor removed from her vertebrae. And then, as most of you already know, Brother Forney's been coughing up blood and he was taken to the hospital, so just remember him in all your prayers. And we all have unspoken prayer requests, so let's call the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you for all the things that you give us that we don't deserve, and for watching over us. Thank you for giving us good health and for allowing us to have safe transportation to and from. Remember those in the hospital and those suffering from sicknesses and diseases of the world. Remember Brother Forney and just help him to recover from whatever is afflicting him. And remember Sister Christine's aunt. It's when she goes to get her tumor checked. Thank you for all things, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In your precious name, amen.
Let's all turn to number 217, Ms. Barlesworth.
The chimes of times ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide, God can do. There is no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can.
and lets us sing the chorus as Sister Monica's class comes up.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
try to be patient, cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it all must cease. Cause you prayed all night, cause you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have woken the master.
Thank you.
shady green pastures so rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along, where the waters cool flow bathe the weary ones deep. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great troubles, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Let's get on. Mr. Rachel, Sister Anna's class to come see you in special.
trying to learn our books of the Bible also, so we're going to get as far as we've gotten so far.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles,
3 Samuel. Take up the offering. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day, and thank you for everything you do for us daily, Lord. And I pray that you just forgive us of all of our sins and bless this offering wherever it may go. In your name I pray. Amen.
Just taking up offering, let's sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Understand him. Amen. We want to understand. We're going to see him. No doubt. We're going to see him. You're not going to see him down here, though. You're going to see him in his people. What are you doing? Get away. Y'all pray for Sister Trudy Collins. She'll be coming flying back tomorrow from Jamaica. She went and had a little R&R with the baby. So Kern said he's having some R&R too, so I think he might be enjoying it more than she is. Anyway, good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you with us. If you got your Bibles, turn to Revelation 6, or you can watch it on the screen. But I want to cover this pretty quick. I want to cover something at the end to maybe add a little bit to what Brother Dale was talking about this morning, so if that's all right. Because it all pertains to the seals and the Jews, and it all pertains to us, God and us and the Jews, all of us. Plan of redemption is covered in all this. So also, by the way of announcement, remember, next Sunday we will have our, we'll talk about officers and things like that just for the home folks. And that will be, I'll cut second service really short, and then we'll just, that way you won't have to stay over so much to add service to a service. So also remember Bible studies this coming Saturday, And on March the 7th, which will be Thursday, I'll be leaving for the Philippines till March the 19th. We've got our itinerary. It is very tight. So we got a lot to do in 14 days, and two of those days are travel days. So just keep us in your prayers. Also, Brother Jewel, there was a text sent out from, I guess, from Sister Forney or the girl, but he's going to have to spend 2 days in the hospital. Everything's clearing up, so thank God for that. He told him he couldn't stay 2 days in the hospital without chicken, so he's fine. So he's okay. But thank God, the prayers of the saints, I tell you, you know, you get somebody like Brother Jewel, and he's not but one of him. And man, well, you want to keep that guy. You want God to protect that. But now remember, on the flip side, Satan wants to get rid of him. So we've got to keep him covered under that blood and remember his blood, because it's his blood pressure and his heart rate and things like that. They're giving him some blood thinners to try to get his heart rate back down. So, but yeah, he was cutting up. He was wanting some, couldn't go 2 days without chicken. I sent him a message back later and told him, I said, I'll bring you some chicken if you need some, if we have to steal it and sneak it in. I don't think they put it in the IV bags yet. You can't get a chicken leg through the IV. So, he might want to try, though. He'd try anything if he goes 2 days without chicken. He'd be sicker than he was when he went in the hospital. So good to be in the house with the Lord. Good to have Brother Russ with us. And most of you know who he is, but the ones that don't know, he's from Minnesota. And that's spelled with a S-O-D-A on the end of it. Not Minnesota, it's Minnesota. He's from Minnesota. Okay. He just came from 11 inches of snow, so coming down here is a culture shock for him. I checked the temperature. It's like 15 degrees up there. You're going back. Okay. 60 down here and 15 at his house. So they just remember also Brother Chris Long. He sent me a picture, 8 feet drift. 41 inches of snow in 24 hours is the most they've ever had in a 24-hour period. Now, that's 41 inches. Of snow, plus 8 foot drifts. Yeah. He sent me a picture of a place where he's got his car, and it's almost up to the top of the car thing that you, like a little portable carport. Yeah. So then he sent me another one of him standing outside, and you can see the stop sign, and the stop sign's here, and the snow is about that far below the stop sign. Piled up, so, and that wasn't the drift, that was the real thing, so. Just remember them in your prayers, because they're not going to be getting out for a little while. It's kind of hard to shovel that kind of snow with a shovel. Now, if you like Brother Russ, he's got an 80-horsepower track hoe bobcat, and he just pushes everything out of the way, you know. So that's and it's heated and air-conditioned, so he doesn't have to get cold. But bless his heart. Also, remember, on April the 13th, put this down on your calendar, we will have our spring fling. I know I announced it for the 27th, but we couldn't get that date. It was already filled. So April the 13th, we will have our spring fling down at the city park in Gillsville. So keep that in your mind, and we'll get everything together, and we always do. Everybody does a wonderful job. I want to thank Brother Joe and Sister Rachel, if she had anything to do with it, for, you didn't have anything to do with it? The pictures. Did you do anything? You did a little bit? I accused her of photoshopping her hair because it's really dark in the pictures. Really dark in the pictures. So, but I want to thank Brother Joe and Sister Rachel for taking the pictures and photoshopping. Hey, it's something they do that we don't see. He sits at home and they sit at home and they get this thing ready to put it on the slideshow. I really appreciate them. I appreciate all the support everybody gives. We could not do this without you, and without you, we can't even preach. What are you going to preach to? You got to have people to preach to. Amen. You got to have people to receive it also, you know. So, Revelation 6, verse 12. Excuse me, verse 12. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, today for coming among us in a way of anointing that your word will be anointed in our hearts, Lord, and in our ears and our eyes, that we may truly see you and understand who you are and what you're doing in this time. Lord, we pray that you just be with each one that's not here. Be with the ones on the highways. Be with the ones, Lord, that are sin sick, Lord. Right down below my feet, there's many, many names on a wall that we put up years ago that we're praying, Lord, that you'll touch each one on that wall and that you'll save their soul, Father, and give them whatever they need, Lord, that you'll bless them and, Lord, bring them in the fold as time's getting short. Father, just be with us and forgive us of our sins. Thank you for all the things you've given us. Be with the missionaries on the foreign fields. Give them fruit for their labor, Father. Just take care of us. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now remember, this is all natural things. It's not human beings involved in this, except they get the bad part. All right. Okay. So, and we're going to get to that because, I don't think Brother Dale told you that, but the Jubilee year, that's what we're looking at. The Jubilee year is what we're heading toward. The two prophets are going to ring in that Jubilee year. The Jubilee year was just for the land. Sure, people went free, but that was for the land to rest. So the Jubilee is for the land, not the earth, this land, to rest. We're going to have 1,000 years of Jubilee rest time with time still going on, and Israel is going to celebrate their Jubilee, and the land's going to rest. This land is going to rest. Is that all right? Amen. We'll get to it maybe in just a minute. The kings of the earth, the heaven departed as a scroll as it was rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. I said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessing to the reading of his word. We're going to put this chart up. We're not going to use it right this moment, but we're going to. With Brother Danny's help, we're going to. And I found something downstairs that we might. Sister Lisa said she could see it better, so we're going to try. What did I do with it? I don't want in no way to think I want to write in pink, but to get in touch with my masculine. If I can find a thing, what did I do with it? Oh, here it is. Can you see this? Can you see that better than you can the black? No. Lisa? No. Never mind. Plan B. Danny, if I had one, I'd use it. I don't have a plan B. I thought this was going to work. Where did I throw that? Oh, here it is. Lord, I don't want Sarah to step on it. That would look good walking out down the aisle like that. Maybe we'll use it and write black on it too. But I want to, everybody to see it. That was my whole purpose. So, but, is it the glare?
Yes.
If you do that, maybe?
Right.
Ah, okay. Well, maybe we'll work on something. We'll get our lighting crew to work on that. We'll find one somewhere. He's downstairs. Okay. The lighting guy's downstairs. All right. So now let's, cause I want to show you, let me go ahead and do this. That what we're talking about is you got to look at this whole thing as we're going through seven seals. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 church ages, right? We've got, and we're finished with 7 church ages. So we've had the 5th, 6th seal. After the rapture, right? But we get the benefits of 5 and 6.
Yeah.
All right. We get the benefits. We get 1 through 4. Rapture takes place. But you can't do away with 5 and 6 because you got to bring 5 and 6 back down to cover. As we were talking last night, when we get into the part of our part of the sixth seal, it's going to be something that's never happened before. And when we leave, there's going to things be happening because the Bible says man ain't going to be able to even, you can't even realize what's going to happen, the chaos that's going to happen after we leave this place. Amen. Well, you can't believe the chaos that's going to happen to this guy before we leave this place, because something's got to happen that no one on earth has ever done. There has never a born-again believer stood on the earth and did not have to die to take a body change. Even Jesus had to die. Everybody's had to die, but there's somebody going to be on this earth that his nature is going to be so disrupted or interrupted that there's going to be so abnormal, but yet it's going to happen. It's a promise it's going to happen, so we know it's going to happen. But you and I must get, because remember, six seals finishes redemption, what we were talking about the other day. All right, six seals finish redemption. You say, well, what's the seventh? There's nothing. It's silence. There's nobody moving. There's no player. There's no moon and sun, and you see all these other things. There's a setup in the play. In the acts of a play, there's always a backdrop. There's always props. Seventh seal, silence. Silence in heaven for space of a half an hour. Silence. Nothing. Nothing moving, Brother Brown said. Nothing going on. Amen. So what is, we'll get to the seventh seal maybe when we get back from the Philippines. The seventh seal is what takes this book. Remember in Revelation 5, the Lamb takes the book. What's the book? It's not the Bible. It's a book of names. Your name. Brother Brown said one time, he said John saw his name in the book. Right. What book? The book that the Father had on the throne in his hand while this seventh seal, Son of Man, made his intercessory work in the church ages. Right. Then when that's over with, he comes and takes the sixth seal book and redeems it. Right. Takes possession. Because remember, the Lamb of God is not the Son of God in that part. That's the Son of Man.
Right, amen.
The Son of Man is the Lamb. That's the flesh God.
Right.
All right, we were talking about that this morning a little bit in the Sunday school class. We're into the book of Hebrews now. We finished with Romans, so we're in the book of Hebrews. And man, we can't get past three verses in 45 minutes. So I would ask you to maybe look at that and see, because I've always said Satan loves to keep what? Keep us separated.
Right.
Divide and conquer. He does not want you to realize that you're God Almighty in human flesh.
Right.
He doesn't want you to realize that. Because when the bride realizes who she is, not who she's going to become.
Right.
It's not like that we're just going to become something. No, you already. Eternal is eternal is eternal. You can't make eternal up here and eternal down here and degrees of eternal. If you're born again today, you're just as eternal as God is.
Right.
Because you're not a second part of God. You are God made manifest in another form called the bride.
Glory.
God has decided to amorphe into you.
Right.
You say, that's just radical. If God decided it, he makes no... me and Russ were talking about it. God doesn't do something and go, nah, I shouldn't have done it that way. You know, we do that. That's us all every day. But God doesn't go... I shouldn't have done that. Lord, I looked down, Brother Colin, there's a purse under your seat. I thought you had a purse. Oh. That's Rebecca. That's Sister Rebecca's purse. Scared me there for a minute. Talking about pink and getting in touch with your feminist side.
That's all right.
Wow, that's all right. Brother Colley's been with us for how many, 150 years? Yeah, something like that. Sitting in the same place. Real solid guy in the church, too, I'm telling you. Real solid guy. Real solid brother. But what was I talking about? God in him. Whatever you want me to talk about, right? But that sixth seal book, though, is the seven church ages. Because all this happens in the church ages. Even 5 and 6, the spiritual part we get, it's still in the church ages. They're about all right with that. Now the natural seal breaks when we leave. We're not here when the sixth seal breaks. Natural seal. But you and I are totally under the sixth seal for your body change, for the nature, because you had a nature change when you got born again, right? The old nature's dead and you become alive in Christ. Well, now that's the inside of the inside. That's the soul. All right? That's the soul. But now God's working on that spirit realm because there was a spirit given you which became a fallen nature because you're in this fallen condition. Right? Amen? And then your body must be under a fallen condition because we sure are getting a lot older. But remember, if you're born again, I tell Sister Cleta all the time, she's 92 years old. Well, she's 92 years old. She's 92 years old, but she doesn't look it and actually doesn't act it at all. So can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Doesn't act like it at all, but she's closer to 20 years old than we are. You gotta see, but now that's abnormal. You know, I told them that, in Sunday school, I'm working on a sermon. What the world thinks is normal, we say is abnormal. What we say is normal, like that, thinking that, the world will look at you and go, idiot. She's getting older. No, as a Christian, she's getting younger. We're heading toward a body change. We're heading toward what's already inside of us. That's the problem with the world. The world, this is not in my nose, but the world can't see God.
Amen.
But you're God. Inside of you is a young person working in the auspice of the Word of God. Feeding on the Word of God. Listen, when you go to McDonald's and eat, you're not feeding your soul. You're feeding, amen, Brother Al. Amen. You're not feeding your soul. Here's where you feed your soul. You're feeding this natural body so that it keeps the soul inside. And that's kind of strange. That's kind of strange. That we're eating to try to keep this guy alive to keep the eternal part that's inside of us from leaving us. I mean, come on. When did I start throwing things? But look, I mean, that, do you think that way? The world don't. The world don't. They think we're crazy. But we are every day heading toward a younger condition. But now look, we're not heading toward it. We're in it. Thank you. It's inside of us. That's what I mean. We're not looking for a theophany that's young out here and we're old over here. That theophany's inside of you.
Right.
It can't do you any good standing over there.
Right.
But it's what's going to change your body.
Amen.
It's what's already inside of you. It's what's going to change you.
Amen.
Everything you need for your journey, the prophet of God said, is right there in you.
Right.
And that's what the seals, I believe that's what the seals are telling us. When we look at these two prophets, these two prophets do what? This morning, we were talking this morning, I read the scripture in John 1. I said, in the beginning was Russ. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. Put your name in there. Because you are the Word made flesh, aren't you? Verse 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh. Oh, that was Jesus. Okay, at one time, he fulfilled that. But because he fulfilled that, now you and I can fulfill that. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, we know that's talking about Jesus, but you and I got to see that that same one that's in you didn't lose the title when he, that same one that was walking on the shores of Galilee didn't lose a title when he went inside of you. He's still God. And when he went inside of you, he didn't become a lesser God, is what I'm trying to say. He didn't become a lesser God. No, he became a greater God. Because that's exactly the way we're going back to. We're getting back to that. Everybody all right with that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? So when I say who's going to take a rapture and you say,
amen.
Now that means you say, no, you're exalting yourself. Be careful. Folks, if God's inside of me, who am I exalting? If you think this flesh is going to do it, you're in trouble. But if the one inside of me,
amen.
We let him do it,
amen.
But But you can't separate it ever again once he comes in and gets in your soul. That's God and you together. Brother Bram said there's persons. He said vulcanized. What is vulcanized? It's not rubber and cloth. It's two pieces of rubber. Come on, people. It's two pieces of rubber that has, you can't tell them apart. That's what you and God in your soul today by the new birth. It's not plastic over here, Russ, and rubber over here, God. Now, he didn't exchange your soul, but he sure changed it to rubber. So that when he comes, that's why it takes the Holy Ghost and fire. Remember the old tubes? You had to heat them tubes up, right? With what? Fire. Yeah, you got it. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Donnie. You're right. Does anybody know even what an inner tube is? Some of you young kids are going, what's an inner tube? Every tire used to have an inner tube in it. And that inner tube is what held the... Brother Hal's laughing. He knows exactly what we're talking about. We fixed them many times because you can fix them at home. But you know what you got to do first? Oh, you don't just brush them. No, no, no. I remember Daddy had a little thing about that big and it had spines on it. And you'd have to rough it up to make it rough. Hello. He'd have to, on Sunday and Wednesday, he'd have to make it rough. But he would roughen that up and then what? You put a little glue, then you take fire and you light it. And actually sometimes the glue would ignite, and that heated it up. I'm just doing this for the kids because all the younger ones are doing this and the kids are going. And then you would take a patch that was the same material. God, the same material. And when you put it together like that, it literally melted and it was stronger than anything around that tube, any part of the other rubber, because you had double rubber now. That's me and God. We double rubbered together. You can quote me on that. But that's what he done. But see, that's not patching it up. That's making it past new. Because you got an old tube. The rest of the tube's old, but when you put that patch on it, it's usually about that much thicker than the rest of the tire. But you can't, you know, unless you just didn't do it right, which God doesn't not do it right, you might get a patch that comes off. But most of the time, the tire's going to blow somewhere else. I'm telling this for a spiritual part, too, for the older ones. There's another part that might blow out, you know. But most of the time, but it was rubber and rubber. You didn't go get a wood patch and put it on rubber. It won't vulcanize. But Brother Branham says it vulcanizes us together. So why don't we believe that we're vulcanized with God?
Glory.
And just let him do the work. Let go and let God. We say that many, many times, but why don't we do that?
Right.
No, we get down and we do like I do sometimes. We try to do 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 × 2 = 4 and we try to figure it all out. Let's just listen to what God has for us because if he's inside of you, he's the one that's going to talk to you.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So in the seals, when we see this 6th seal book of redemption, for you and I, and then we'll get to the seal in just a second. But that 6th seal book of redemption, that book is sealed with 6 seals. Now, like Brother Dale said, Jesus already preached 6 seals. They've already been preached. The book's already, in other words, the book's already there. Your name's already in that book. But it takes the 7th seal, which there's only 1 seal. Grieve not. Remember when we first started this a year ago? I read to you what a seal was. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are until the day of your redemption. That's the only seal there is. Because without the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, without your soul being sealed in, you cannot understand what I'm talking about. Oh, you can get parts of it if you're not born again, and it will bring you to a level to get born again. But what I'm saying is when you get to this six seals, you've got the whole book. You're not just feeding milk. I was telling them downstairs, and I'll tell you, I'm not looking for the last seed to come in. See, there's now we're going to be abnormal in the message. All right, Richard, we're going to be abnormal in the message now. Message people are going to be going, do what? Where's Bob Black? Do what? Old Bob will say something, you go, do what? He's off preaching for Brother Kershane. He's on his way back home, I'm sure. So just pray for him. I'm sure they had a good time. But you come to a place, though, that that last seed cannot be a baby if we're going to take a rapture. That last one that everybody's looking for has got to be a mature person. It can't be a baby. So he's got to be taught, he or she, whoever, has got to be taught the Word of God, because God's not going to rapture babies. He raptures full-grown people. Especially if they're going to take a body change, they got to be fully mature. So what I'm saying is, we may have already got the last seed. That person may be sitting in a service one day, somewhere. No, it don't have to be here, but somewhere. And what? He moves up just a little bit higher. He or she, they move up just a little bit higher. And then all of a sudden God says, okay, you're at the place where I can take them all now. See, so I look at it a little bit different. To me, that's abnormal to most what people think. Like I said many times before, I'm not looking, and don't even, a rapture to me is an event. We've got to have the dead come out of the ground first. We've got to have a body change before the rapture. So why is everybody, I'm looking for a rapture? That's an event on the calendar. But you better be ready. You got to get ready before that time comes. I'll see you in the rapture. No, I want to see your body change. Because if I see you in the rapture, that might mean I have to die. See what I mean? I'm still working on some of these things that are kind of odd to us that we may have all these years. You know, for all these years they've said, now, Brother Gary Adkins, he's passed on. He's sitting at Jesus' feet walking on streets of gold. No, that's not true. That's not true. But now how many times have you been told that? Your whole life. Especially if you've been in a denomination. Not if you've been in a mess, but you've been in a denomination. It's just, my mama's right there at the feet of you. No, she's not. That's not true. They're in the sixth dimension. We know that. They're in a very happy and a wonderful place. But there's things got to happen before all that comes to being. You say, well, you're just being too technical. You're the one that's going to have to make it come to pass. You better, if you won't want to get technical, you better get technical. Because without you coming to a body change, they're going to stay in that dimension. Everybody all right? I mean, really. It's wonderful to know these things. But the present day truth is what you and I, that's why I am is going to take a rapture. But I am is going to have a body change first. So who's going to take a body change? You say, I am. Well, it is. It's you. That's not exalted. That's not saying, I'm going to do this. If you know the correct way, it's God going to do it, but he's going to do it through you. And I didn't decide that. He did. I just accepted what he said. What he's already said. Amen. So let's read a few quotes. We're gonna kind of review just a second. I'm gonna skip a bunch of this and then get to the end and then kind of bring something about the Jubilee that I think will help you understand more what Brother Dale was talking about this morning. Number one, the sixth seal. Now the earthquake. Cause listen folks, this is for you. This is for you. All this is for you. It's for all of us to come to that place. I don't want to be a prophet to right now and know what all you are thinking. Thank God. And all of you are going to say amen. You should not have. Think about what I just did. Okay. Anyway, I just exposed you. Hear no evil, see no evil. We can't help what we think. Can't help what we think. We're human beings. But we can do something about the thought that we have. Amen. Even Jesus had, I was telling him downstairs, you know, Jesus was around Mary Magdalene for years. And she's a prostitute. You don't think he saw things? But remember, he was clean. He didn't have to have the statue of a perfect man. He was the statue of a perfect man. But you know what? He's told us the way to get to it. It's not like we're putting him way up here and we can't reach it. No, he's not. That king came down here to live among us, to teach us how to do the thing. The stature of a perfect man. That wasn't the stature of William Branham. That was the stature of a perfect man, Jesus Christ. I love, you go in Brother Jess Trammell, where I used to preach, or he's passed on now, but he has a big picture of the cloud over here. And remember the, some of you older ones remember the picture in the indictment book where Brother Brown was pointing his finger like this, where I indict this generation, and it's a black and white picture of him standing at the pulpit. Brother Jess has got that picture of him doing this and the cloud, and he's pointing to the cloud, and he said, a true prophet will point you to Christ every time.
That's right.
And that's the way it is. He pointed us to Christ.
Right.
That's why I don't get muddled up in if Brother Branham was right or wrong. Or he brought us the Word of God.
Right.
He was a prophet. He was supposed to bring it to us. He was supposed to leave the scene. And he was given a commission to give it to a group of people. And he did give it to us. He did what he was supposed to do. Now, what are we going to do about it is our business. We can take it and forget it like a lot of people are doing, or we can take it and we can move it right on to the coming of the Lord. Compare scripture to this great event that we will see, this great secret of mystery that was under the sixth seal of the book of redemption. So remember, anytime you see a book, that book in the Bible, six seals has it sealed. Okay? Because look, it's the sixth seal, book of redemption. I'm reading what the prophet said. Now remember, these are hidden mysteries, and the six seals altogether is one great big book.
Right.
Just six scrolls rolled together, and it unwinds the whole book of redemption. That's how the whole earth was redeemed. And we'll get into Revelation 5 later on about all that. So let's go to number 2. All right, now this sixth seal, now what we're looking here, look. What does this keep falling for? Can I throw something at it? So the tribulation period is here, right, after we leave. So the sixth seal is the tribulation period. The seal itself is the tribulation period, all right? That's what takes place. The bride has gone. No living creature. In other words, there's no Holy Ghost on the earth except what's going to fall on 144,002. Now, God's not dealing with the church no more. It's done gone. He's dealing with Israel. This is the other side. This is when Israel receives the message of the kingdom by the two prophets of Revelation 11. Remember, their eyes are blind to today. The Bible tells us that their eyes are literally blinded until we get out of here. When we leave, God will lift that veil off of their eyes, and they'll see Christ through those two prophets. So we're holding up the whole thing. Because we can't be here. He can't have a bride here and then cause a tribulation to happen. And then go to the Jews. We got to be gone. Joseph's wife, Gentile wife, was in the palace when he revealed himself to his brethren, the Jews. Remember, he married a girl in Egypt, right? While he was down there. But he sent that Gentile wife back to the palace when he revealed himself. Same thing with God, revealing himself to the Jews. We must be out of here. We must leave this place. We cannot be here when he goes to the Jews. Remember, Israel is a nation, God's servant nation. And when Israel is brought in, it'll be a national affair. Israel, the kingdom age, is when David, the son of David, sits on the throne. Now keep that in your mind just for a minute. All right, let's go to number 3. Go through this real quick. I want to skip a few things. For we know the sixth seal is a judgment seal. Because even, remember, look at me just a minute. Even the foolish virgin, we were talking about this last, even the foolish virgin has to go through this time of judgment, right? They're not born again. They may be totally justified. They may be totally sanctified. But either some preacher blinded their eyes or something happened that they didn't get the Holy Ghost, okay? That's why you have to really know you got a Holy Ghost-filled preacher, because you can only go as high as your pastor. You say, oh, every pastor's born again. Hold on. Watch this. No. I like what Brother Russ said. He said, the devil's got a fivefold ministry too. You ever thought about that? He's a copycat. Right? He's a copycat. If God's got fivefold ministry that's true, Satan's got, listen, if you preach false doctrine, that's not God. That's just be, that's not God.
That's right.
But he does have a true fivefold ministry because he said it would perfect the saints. So I'm going to go and take the Bible, what the Bible said about it. All right? Well, we know the sixth seal is a judgment seal. So they're going to get their judgment while we're gone. So you and I, hallelujah. I told you, I said, what great revelation is that we don't have to go through this. The bride's gone. We're out of here before this starts. You think we're having judgment now? Go home and look in your refrigerator. Yeah, it's bad judgment. Go get in your $80,000 car and go to the house. Mash your heated seats and your heated steering wheel. Boy, we're going through some persecution. Yeah, see. Now, you don't want to be here when this happens. Now, here's the breaking forth of the judgment upon the people. We're out of this tribulation judgment will come forth 144,000 redeemed Jews. Now, remember, God will not speak, and we'll get into this maybe if I have time. One of the reasons they've never celebrated a Jubilee year is because they've never all been in the homeland. You cannot, remember I told you it was land. During a Jubilee year, the land has to rest, but the people, I'll read it to you. All of Israel, all 12 tribes have to be in Jerusalem before they can celebrate a Jubilee year. So what's going to happen in the millennium? All 12 tribes are coming together. Boy, this is perfect. I mean, it really just helps a lot to just keep digging and keep reading and see how God's going to do this thing. Here's the breaking forth of the judgment upon the people. They'll come forth 144,000 redeemed Jews. I'll prove it to you, they're Jews and not Gentiles. They have nothing to do with the bride, not a thing. See what? Like we were talking about, we done seen the bride gone. You can't place that else anywhere else. Don't come back until the 19th chapter of the book of, we know that's the book of Revelation. For the sixth seal is the judgment seal of the word. But you have to remember too, like we were talking about things that were told, in most denominations, have everybody seen the movie Left Behind? You've seen the movie Left Behind. Okay, well what, if you hadn't seen the movie Left Behind, that's what it means. That means there's a rapture already took place and you're left behind, but you can get saved after you've been left behind because the denominational world says there's a 7-year tribulation period. Ask Brother Dale, he'll tell you. The Baptists believe there's 3.5 year minor tribulation and 3.5 years of major tribulation. And you can make it through the minor tribulation if you're not whatever they call it. But I told him, I said, the Antichrist shows up at the end of the movie. I said, no, the Antichrist started in the first of the movie to tell them people that they were okay if they missed. Hey, if you miss the first one, you'll get the second one. No, you're not. Because remember, the second resurrection after that is judgment resurrection. Everybody raises at that time. You want to be in the, blessed are those that come in the first resurrection that doesn't have part in the second. The second is after the 1,000 years, everybody comes up for judgment. You don't want to be in that one. But see how the devil has taught that doctrine in the denominational church? So they're not so, you and I are, should be so on edge to make the body change. So on edge to make a resurrection. But if you were in the denominational world, you kind of got a little leeway. If you don't make, right? And he's been going through this trying to talk to some denominational people. Well, you know, it ain't such a big deal because if I miss the first one, I'll just make the second one. No. You missed the first one. You think hell's going to be bad. You're going to be alive on the earth when all these things are happening and it ain't going to be good. But the sixth seal is the judgment seal of the Word of God. All right, Revelations 11. I'm just going to paraphrase it because we know what it is. We know it's two prophets prophesying 1260 days. Is that all right? We should know that. And it's the ministry of Moses and Elijah because they shut up the heaven that it rained not in the days of their prophecy, which is 3.5 years, same way with Elijah. And water turned to blood. We know that Moses did that to the Nile River. What a stink. Oh, you'd think that was horrible to smell that. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. All right, and then they're going to be killed, and then they're going to be caught up in a resurrection. Everybody okay with that? Don't have to read it. Number four. Excuse me. We're still in the sixth seal. What can bring these things by the word? They can do nature any way they want. Here it is. They're the one who brings on this sixth seal. They uncover and open it up.
Amen.
Amen. He's talking about the two prophets. It's the power of God to interrupt nature. See, the sixth seal is completely an interruption of nature. So it's totally abnormal. Normal is what we're dealing with. But that's totally abnormal when you got two men standing there and all of a sudden, like I said, the Mossad comes to bring an army to destroy them and they just go, ground open up, swallow them up, and you know, and it's done. They're gone. This other, they try to poison them. They sit there and drink 2 gallons of it. It doesn't bother them. They can't kill them till them 1260 days is over with. But that's abnormal to the world. But if they just read the Bible, it'd be really normal. Them two prophets are not going to die for 1260 days. I don't care what you try to do to them. But see, Satan reads that and he don't believe it. He just don't believe it. If he believed it, he'd say, well, I'm just done. I'm finished. You know, this is it. Do you get it? There's your seal. So now there's your seal. We're going to talk about that today, and then we'll move on to the seal compared to us next Sunday for a little while. But this is the seal. The seal is those two prophets on the other side of the rapture.
Right.
And as we've said before, it took a prophet on this side of the rapture, Brother Branham, it took a prophet on this side of the rapture to tell us these things. He prophesied of what was coming. Put the word together. With the power of God, the word of God, they just condemn nature. They can send earthquakes, turn the moon to blood, sun can go down any time at their command. Amen. There you are, there you are. See how the seals opened down there in the church age, how it showed the martyrs. Now here's these two prophets standing here with the word of God to do anything to nature they want to do. And they shake the earth. It shows exactly who does it, Moses and Elijah, because their ministry reimpersonated both men. Oh my, do you see it? See what the sixth seal is. It's those two prophets.
Right.
Now notice, don't let it choke you, but watch what happened. Open that seal. Prophets, there you are. Oh, we're living in the eagle day, brother. Head above the clouds. They open that sixth seal. They have power to do it. There's your sixth seal coming open. If you'll notice, if you've read your sixth seal, Brother Brown said, I had to get up and walk out of the room. Something struck me. What was it that struck him? He noticed what he was doing.
Right.
It took a prophet to open the seal. It takes two prophets to open the sixth seal after we're gone, but it took a prophet in the end time to a Gentile church to get us to see the spiritual part of the seal so that you and I can have an interruption of nature, our nature, and that we can be changed and be taken in the rapture. And this doesn't apply to us. This does not apply. We're not going to be here. All right. This is part of the cleaning up of the earth. All right. Then we're going to Daniel. Remember last Sunday before last, Russ kind of got on to me for being so, what'd you say, being so adamant about what I was talking about the, well, I'm telling you, here we go with normal and abnormal in the message. Most people in the message believe that there's only 3.5 years left of the Daniel 70 weeks at the end, after the rapture, but that's not true. That's a lie. The Bible says there's 7 years left. So you go argue with the Bible. I'm just going to let you go argue. You bring me any quote you want to, and I'm going to send you right back to the Bible. Is that okay? If that's being dogmatic, that's okay. I'll take the word any day. Any day I'll take what the word says over what anybody says. But right here answers your question. Daddy told me this many, many years ago. He said, read, if you don't understand Daniel 70 weeks, read the sixfold purpose. 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks are determined. Upon thy people and the city. See, our problem is we stop with the people.
Right.
But that city's got to be rebuilt.
Right.
Amen? The city's got to be rebuilt.
Amen.
To do six things. Finish the transgression. Not of the city, of the people.
Right.
Make an end of sins to the people, not to the city. To make reconciliation for iniquity. Now it says to bring in everlasting righteousness. Where are you going to bring it into? The city.
Right.
Seal up the vision and prophecy. We're going to be right, and to anoint the most holy, we're going to be right there in that city.
Yeah.
And to anoint the most holy, Brother Brown said the most holy is us.
Right.
In the city. So wait a minute. 70 weeks has to, this is all of it right here. 70 weeks are determined. Not 69 and a half.
Right.
So the 3.5 year ministry of the prophets take you this red right here. And then the last half, I've told you many times before, you can't bring in everlasting righteousness because if you say, as most people in the message say, that after the 1260 days, the Daniel 70 weeks is over. That's not according to this because you'd stop it right here.
That's right.
Is that all right?
Right.
You'd stop it right here. These other three's got to happen inside that 70 weeks.
Right.
So to anoint the most holy, which is us, into the millennial temple, there's got to be more time left after everybody thinks it's supposed to end.
Right.
So there's 7 years left after the rapture, but there's only 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry left.
Amen.
I explained that the other day. There was 3.5 over here when Jesus walked on the earth, right? Pay attention to this. There was 3.5 to the prophets, 2 prophets, right? Let me do 3.5. All right, got that? Now, what is that? How many is that? A 7. 70 weeks equals 7 years. Brother Branham compiled all of the 70 weeks of Daniel in that 3.5 years ministry of Jesus when he was on earth and 3.5 year ministry to the 2 witnesses. All right? Right? 1260 days over here, 1260 days over here. That's all that's left. Amen. And when do they show up? The last half of that week he's talking about. The Messiah week. He always calls it the Messiah week. But you can't take away what the Bible said. There's 1 week left after the rapture. And even the last sermon he preached was not the 70 weeks of Daniel. It was the 70th week. That whole sermon, that last of the 3 books he preached, read your title. It says the 70th week, not the half of the 70th week. I'm telling you, you're just not getting what he's talking about. Everybody thinks that he changed it in the seals. He never changed nothing in the seals. He said, I told y'all we was going to have to get rid of this before we got to it. So, if you got a problem, go back to the Bible. I'm just going to start telling you to read what the Bible says.
Okay.
And he shall confirm a covenant of many for 1 week. That's after we're gone. That's right here. For how long? 1 week. All right, so there's 1 week left after the rapture. There's only 3.5 years of ministry. There's only 3.5 years of the tribulation. But there's 7 years left to get us in the millennium. Because right here starts the millennium.
Right.
It doesn't start right here.
Right.
The millennium starts right here.
Right.
Everybody all right with that? If you're not, then go back to the Bible.
Okay.
All right? So now let's skip number 5. Let's read number 6. Go to number 6. Good job. Feast of the Trumpets. Now we got to get to the Feast of the Trumpets. Pentecost feast finishes at the period of the 7th trumpet, for the next is the coming of the 7th seal. For the next is the mystery of the coming of Christ, and also the trumpet is sound for the Jews. Everybody settle down just a minute. Their 6th trumpet is sound, and when it does, it makes known to them the revealed Son of God. Now, what happens after 6 seals are revealed to me and you? What does it reveal? Christ. The 7 trumpets, all of them sound under the 6th seal. Well, they all sound while these 2 prophets are on earth. And we read them last Sunday. Everybody okay with that? Some of you are... Their 6th trumpet is sound, and when it does, it makes known to them the revealed Son of God, not the 7th. Because we're going to read next Sunday, maybe we'll read the 7th trumpet. The 7th trumpet to the Jews is the same as the 7th seal to us.
Right.
The kingdoms of our Lord have become the kingdoms of His Christ, and we shall rule and reign forever.
Amen.
Because that happens because 6 seals finishes redemption. There's no more redemption after the door closes. There's the Redeemer. But this is the redemption. He doesn't need to be redeemed.
Right.
Not now. His body did, though. Jesus' body was not eternal. It had to be made eternal. His body had to be redeemed. I read you the quote where Brother Branham said that, remember, several months ago? Brother Branham said eternal life he inherited. Now, Jesus Christ didn't inherit eternal life in his soul and his spirit. We know that. or he was just a mortal man. But he inherited eternal life in his body. When he come out of that tomb, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. That was redeemed body God. So what's going to happen to you? Same thing. That's why we separate it. Well, it can happen to Jesus, but it can't happen to me. Well, you're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. Hey, he was God and he died. But being God and dying, you don't have to die. Remember, all trumpets sound on this sixth seal. So all those trumpets we read last Sunday in Revelations 8 and 9, they sound while these two prophets are on the earth. The sixth seal finishes the mystery under the sixth seal just before the seventh is open. Now, this is Feast of the Trumpet. He preached this after the seals, so he knows what he's talking about. Just before the seventh's open. All right, is everybody okay with that? Then we read, let's just not read the... Let's go to number 7. That way we'll skip a lot of this for time. Go to number 7. We read them last Sunday. It's exactly the tribulation period. You know what happened. All the woes came, and all the first, Brother Dale talked about this morning, the first woe was the First World War, second woe was the Second World War, and we hadn't had the third woe yet because it's the Third World War. All right, everybody okay with that? Brother Brown said, woes mean war. Right. All right. Now, this calling of the Feast of Trumpets, the approaching of something, notice Revelations 8, 7, if you want to write it down. We notice the first trumpet, there scattered hail, blood, fire upon the earth. Just exactly with the Exodus. You see what happened? That's why I told you. This seal has been spoken of way back in the Old Testament. Because the seals tie the entire Bible together. So the bringing of Israel out, or the bringing of Israel out of the, in the Exodus out of Egypt is exactly the same thing. Hail, blood, fire upon the earth, just exactly the Exodus when God was calling his people out of the Exodus. Remember? That was the first Exodus. Then now we're in the third Exodus. It's not going to be a coming out of Egypt as far as us all being in bondage. No, it's spiritual. Spiritual bondage is what we got to come out of. I'd heaped rather be in natural bondage than be in spiritual bondage. You say, oh boy, no, I'd rather be in natural bondage than to be in a spiritual bondage. Because that means you're bound. Now the reason that these seven trumpets does not apply to this church in this age is because it's to Israel only. Because we're Gentiles. Listen, when if there was a Gentile in Israel, during these feast days, they could come and watch, but they couldn't participate. Gentiles can't participate. So we can't participate. If those trumpets blew to Israel, if you were a Gentile, you just went, what was that? But the Jews knew exactly what that sound was because they were called under the Feast of the Trumpets. Right? So God is calling his people out of the Exodus. Now, the reason that these seven trumpets don't apply to this church in the age is because it's to Israel only. It's the calling of the gathering of the people. Now, there's only one significance in here that I want you to get to in a few minutes. It's where you'll see why this doesn't apply to this age that we're living, the seven trumpets. Remember, he started talking about he wanted to preach the trumpets and God wouldn't let him. Why? Because it's not to us. No, it's to the Jews. The gathering of Israel is the trumpets. The trumpets is to gather Israel. Notice the very first trumpet sound. Blood, fire, hail, everything scattered to the ground. See, what was he doing? Bringing Israel out of spiritual Egypt, see, back into his homeland. Now let us say this here, that every trumpet that blowed under the sixth seal. So they're all going to blow at the time of that 3.5 year ministry of the two prophets. Because they are the seal. And all trumpets sound under the sixth seal. We'll get to it in a few minutes where we caught the seal there. All the trumpets sounded under the sixth seal. Everybody all right? Now look, number 8. Then we'll get into kind of what Brother Dale was talking about this morning. Now notice, a trumpet sounded and that was to gather them together. Now the first trumpet blowed, there was hail fire sprayed on the earth just exactly like it was in Egypt, making ready to call them to the Day of Atonement. They were calling them to the Day of Atonement. All right? Everybody got that? Now remember, the Day of Atonement was not the Passover. The Passover is the killing of the lamb. The Day of Atonement was to separate yourself and realize that something had already been killed in your stead and you were having a day to where you were honoring that. All right? Because remember, Israel has not come to their day of atonement yet. So Christ don't have to go get back on the cross. It's not the Feast of Passover. Amen? They're looking at the Feast of Atonement, which they're going to say, He already died. You already killed that lamb in your country. Amen? They rejected the true atonement. And this year has been lengthened out through here, has been the year of Pentecost. Now look, this has been the year of Pentecost. The literal day of Pentecost is when the Holy Ghost fell. The literal day of Pentecost. The 50th day. And we've been living to a degree under that because we've all had a Pentecost. But now at the end, we go to the Feast of Tabernacles because the Tabernacles is in gathering. It's bringing everybody together. Amen? So we'll read it in just a second. These years has been lengthened out through here and has been the year of Pentecost. Now look, see, Israel has never had a day of Pentecost. They've never received the Holy Ghost. Now they had a day of Pentecost, their day, where they do whatever. Do you know actually the Pentecost feast of Pentecost is called the Feast of Weeks? Because it's seven sevens, it's 49, and then the extra day is their 50. It's called the Feast of Weeks. Look it up in your history. It's not in the Bible. It does say Feast of Weeks in the Bible. But it is the Feast of Pentecost. Because it's 49 plus 1 makes 50. Right. We'll get to that in just a second. Because we've come to our 50.
Glory.
When you get born again, you're not in a 49. You're in a 50.
Right.
You have come to your Jubilee year.
Right.
We just haven't finished it yet because this thing hadn't gone free yet. But we're getting to it. We're actually in it. We're in it. This has been the calling out of the church. What? Those years of the Feast of Pentecost is where you call the people out. The calling out, Feast of Weeks, seven, look at me, seven times seven, 49 church ages, but you and I have to come to a 50. All
right?
I'll prove that to you in just a second. Now then the calling out of the church, watch real close. Now which afterwards he took them to the land of promise. Took them after what? The atonement, they took them to the land of promise. Which he will do the same thing, which in symbol he takes the church. See, our land of promise is the word of God.
Right.
Israel's land of promise is that part over there past the Mediterranean Sea called, Brother Russ, how many times have you been to Israel? Four times. He's been over there. That's where we're going to live. That's where we're going to live. That's where the city's going to push up from. That's where we're going to live. But we're spiritual Israel. Natural Israel in the millennium is going to live in the same place, but then God's going to wipe that all off again because that's temporal. That's temporary. Because you and I are in a temporary dwelling place under a 49. That'll make you happy. We're not have to be stuck in this thing. Thank you. Hallelujah, brother. I'm going to have to get you a megaphone. When you say hallelujah, I want Brother Dick's hair to fall forward. At least he's got some, don't all y'all laugh. You woke up a little bit? Everybody awake? Okay. This has been the calling out of the church. He's called us out during the Feast of Pentecost.
Right. Right.
We've all received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Israel has not. So they're not under that feast. They're not in that 50 yet.
Right. Right.
But they're going to get it.
Glory.
They're going to get a natural time.
Right.
All right, watch. What number was that? Number 8? Number 9? All right, look. Note, Revelations 9. Stick with me for just, it's 3:30. Stick with me just a few minutes. Now, Revelations the 9th, 13th verse, now notice real close, under the 6th trumpet, Revelations 9, 13, under the 6th trumpet, there was 200,000 horsemen, it's actually 200,000, we know that. Horsemen that had been bound in the river Euphrates was turned loose under the 6th trumpet. Now, he goes to explain, there's not that many literal horsemen in the world. These are demons. Devils. And like I said, you know where they are? They're right there. That river Euphrates. Remember, the Tigris and Euphrates River run right down through the Garden of Eden. One border on one side, one on the other. Them demons were there to not let us back. You ever thought about that? Them demons come out of that Tigris and out of the Euphrates River to stop us from going across to the promised land.
Right.
There were 200,000 horsemen. I want you to jot it down so you can read it. They wasn't natural horses. They breathed fire. They had breastplates of jasper and they had tails. And what was their tail? It was a lie. It was their T-A-L-E, not T-A-I-L. The end of the tail looked like a serpent or snake's head. Hello. Who tells a lie? The serpent. All right. Snake's head at the end of it, stinging. It was spiritual horses, spiritual devils, chargers that had been bound in Euphrates all these years. Supernatural devils. I'm running out of something to read. What was it? The old Roman Empire being revived. The persecution of the Jews. They had been bound nearly 2,000 years at the river Euphrates. Can't cross the promise. A religious sect that was trying to get to the other side. Euphrates, you know, came through Eden. I think I just said that. But they were bound there, 200,000 demons of persecution. And notice what happens under that sixth trumpet.
Right.
They were turned loose on the Jews. Right. To do what? To drive them back to their land.
Right.
You can't celebrate a jubilee if you're a Jew and you're out of the country. You got to be in the country. Remember, there was three feasts, and I can't remember. One of them was the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of First Fruits and one other. There was three feasts that if you were 20 years old, you had to come to Jerusalem every year to celebrate those feasts. Doesn't matter where you lived, you had to come back to Israel to do that. I'll read them later. I'm studying them some of that now. But there's three feasts that you were required if you were a male Jew. You had to go back to the... That's why, if you'll read your Bible, Jesus says, the Bible will say... On the day of the feast, Jesus was in the temple. Jesus went to church. And he was there during those feast days. And if I would have been Jesus, which I would have probably made people worse mad than they did him, I'd say, I'm the feast. I'm the bread. He did say that anyway. He said, I'm the bread that come from heaven. I am the lamb. I am the one. He stood in the temple and said, I am he. But what? They were so blinded. Supernatural devils, nearly 2,000 years, then loosed on Stalin, Hitler, upon the Jews. They said, well, that isn't Rome. It's the same spirit. They done the same thing they did to the Christians
right.
in the old pagan Roman days. Now watch the natural Israel and the spiritual church now as we separate it here, turned loose on the Jews. Now Brother Brown goes on and continues. He said those 200,000 demons were loosed on the bride
right.
to drive us back to our homeland, which is the Word of God. We don't have a continuing city or a home. Brother Chris, this is not our home.
Amen.
All right. So now let's go right here to the next one. But I want to stop. If we get to this, we will. Because right now we are under the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the last great feast, is the Feast of Tabernacles before you cycle back around to the Passover. They all cycle. Remember downstairs, some of you were down there with me. We did the calendar.
Yeah.
When we did the Daniel 70 weeks, we did the calendar.
Right.
All right. And now remember the seventh month is October. Mm-hmm. Their year starts in March, April. It's not exactly March. It's kind of in between March and April, but their seventh month from March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. So in October, the 15th day of the seventh month, I got it wrote in my Bible. You know, that's when Sister Mita, when the Lord told Sister Mita to marry Brother Branham in October. That's why. Because you and I are feasting under the Feast of Tabernacles. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. In other words, you take a little time off. Is that okay? Everybody ought to say, hey, man, take some time off. All right, let's read this right here. Let's go to number 10. I'm going to read 10 and 11, and I'm going to try to hit something real quick, what Brother Dale was talking about this morning. Now, this is the future home. Now, watch. Listen, look at me. The future home is not under a seven. The future home is not on a 49. The future home is an eighth day holy convocation. Eternity. That's why the millennium is not an eight. It's a seven.
Right.
An eight is not two. Now remember, when we get into this, what I'm fixing to talk to you in a minute about, remember this right here. There's not 8 days in a week.
Right.
Never has been. Even the Beatles sang about 8 days a week. You know, remember that? Who said I remember that? Somebody should have said, who's the Beatles? Nobody said that. Okay. But remember, you had, let's do this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There was no eighth day. You had 7 days, and then you went back to the first day. Because they had a, roll that back down just for a second. See right here? On the first day shall be a holy convocation, but it was for 7 days.
Yeah.
Now this is heading toward what Brother Bram's reading on, because they said, Brother Bram, you ran out of your types.
Right?
You're still in the seven. Even some of them people knew that if you stayed in the seven, if you stay in that cycle,
right,
it's not eternal.
Right.
But there's an eighth day,
right,
holy convocation, which is the day after the seventh, which is the first. Now, you said that does nothing to us. It's going to explain why Brother Dale was talking about the Jubilee this morning.
Yeah.
Right? Because it has everything to do with it. Because there is no 50th Jubilee outside of the 7 sevens is 49.
Yeah. Right.
It's hidden.
Yeah.
That's why that you had the 3,430 days. There was those 70 days missing. Because it was 70th Jubilee. 70th Jubilee. Right? So anyway, let's look at this real quick. Now remember, there are 7 feast days. The Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sheafwave. All this, there are 7 great feast days. That was only a type of the 7 church ages.
Right.
Even under the Feast of Tabernacles, you and I are under it now, it will cease when we go in a rapture.
Right.
It will cease for us.
Right.
We don't actually go build booths. They do in Israel, they build a booth.
Right.
And they sit down in that booth. They build a booth. Have you seen it?
Yep.
They build the booth.
Yep.
And they sit in that booth. Now that's literal. But you and I sit in this booth forever, how long we got here. Because that's what it is. They're types to us. That was only type of the 7 church ages. And you remember how many Sabbaths there was between one and the other. 7 Sabbaths between Pentecost and the trumpets, which was the 7 church ages. There was 7 feast days that represented the 7 church ages. Keep your numbers running. You said, well, now, Brother Brown, you've done run out. You got your 7. All right, let's take the last feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. He reads the 36th verse. 7 days shall you offer offerings made of fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day, he repeats, on the eighth day shall be a holy convocation. There is another holy time coming. Holy convocation unto you, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It's a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. Now we got an eighth day. Now there is only 7 days, but here we speak of the eighth day, holy convocation, notice, do no work in it. That's why Jesus never spoke of a day we have entered into our rest. When you're born again, you have entered into your rest. You'll never rest no better. You say, oh, no, your soul is resting in God. We've already entered our 50. But remember, the Jubilee is for the land.
Yeah.
The 50th Jubilee, the 7 sevens is for everything else. The 50 is for the land.
Right.
You see what I'm doing? This is land. All right? That's why we must get to that 50. To have our Jubilee, a release of this man.
Right.
All right? We've already been released in here. We've went through, I hope we've went through the Day of Atonement. I hope we went through the Feast of First Fruits. I hope we went through the Passover. That's when the Lamb died for you. That's when you accepted that. Feast of Pentecost.
Right.
All right, I don't want to confuse you, so let's just kind of... The eighth day back to the first, all right? So there's no eighth day. It goes cycles back to the first day. But it is set aside as the eighth day because it's a holy convocation. All right? Why it speaks of eternity as she rolls around without a stopping place. Do you see it?
Right.
Now notice, because right here, look, this is the church ages. It stops. Then you have another church age messenger. He preaches his message, then it stops. He comes on the scene, preaches his message, he stops. Seven times that. Seven times seven equals what? 49. But by receiving the Holy Ghost, we have completed the circle. And we'll prove that in just a minute with the Jubilee. All right. Everybody bear with me just a few more minutes. Notice it was also upon this eighth day, last day, feast day of the tabernacle. Notice after that, after the last feast day, after the last church age, after the last complete 7 days upon the earth, after the millennium. Because the millennium is still, the earth is still right here. In time. Still rolling through time. But now you and I, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost and by body change, have taken it into an eighth day. So we get our jubilee. Our land is at rest, even. Our soul's at rest now, but our land's going to be at rest. Amen. Well, that makes me feel good. As I get older, it makes me feel even better. Brother Dick. Remember, amen. Remember, this is Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles, gathering places. That's what we're doing. We are gathering together unto Him. What? Around the Word of God. Not around a piece of land. But Israel has promised a piece of land. Thy people and thy holy city. Well, obviously, that city's got to sit on a piece of land. Right? Where in the millennium, the Bible says, they shall build houses and inhabit. You see the difference in the future home. Future home is already built for us. No building. But now in the millennium, there is building. That's why a lot of people, even Brother Russ, I think, was talking about, people don't believe that Ezekiel 40 to 44 is a literal temple. Brother Branham said it was. It was a millennial temple that's going to be built by the Jews for the millennium. Because the Son of David's got to sit on a throne. Now that throne is literal. Because David sat on a literal throne and he promised that the Israel would not be without the Son of David sitting on the throne. So in the millennium, there sits Jesus on the throne. We're there in the honeymoon. We're all there. But He's sitting on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what the Bible says. Amen. In a temple. Now, there won't be any sacrifices at all. But what a glorious time we'll have to be able to step in that outer court and remember when you went through justification. Step in that inner court and remember where you went through sanctification. And step into that holy of holies and guess what you're going to see? You're going to see God. Amen. But in the new earth, He has already went and prepared the place. It's built. We have nothing to do with the building of it. Amen. Eternal. Oh, I just love that word. A holy convocation, the eighth day, which is only 7 days. Look, it's only seven. There's no eighth day, but what does it takes and continues the cycle. It's the first day back again. I'm telling you this for a purpose, all right? Because of what Brother Dale said this morning, which is only 7 days. Then on the eighth day, which comes back to the first day again, comes right back to the first day, the eighth day is a holy convocation. Notice, 7 days only has to do with old creation. Right. World time. Right. 7 days, that's the millennium, the rest day. As God labored 6 days, He rested the seventh. The church labored 6 days, rest the seventh. But you're still in time element. Even in the millennium, you're in a time element.
Right.
All right. I ain't speaking of the eternal when He's talking about the millennium. But you see, there's no such a thing as 8 days. You go right back to the first day again. All right, let's read this last one. It's from the future home. The Feast of Tabernacles was the last feast, the seventh feast. We are worshiping now under the Feast of Tabernacles, the seven church ages. In the millennium, we'll be under the Feast of Tabernacles again in the seventh day. But then after the seventh day, we have a holy convocation, go back into the eternal. How? By the eternal one that came and redeemed us, taking us back, letting us recognize that we were a part of this. Everybody all right with that? So now let's try to look at something what Brother Dale was talking about this morning. Because look, when you have in the old cycle, back when we were talking about in Leviticus 25:8, every 7 years there was a jubilee. Okay? Every 7 years there was a jubilee. Now what happened was, is in the middle of this sixth year, a trumpet sound. Because it's actually not in the total middle of the year, it's in October. Most everything happens on that seventh month, which is a harvest month. I hope you get that. Which is a harvest month. A harvest month. When the reapers reap the harvest and puts it in the storehouse. I hope you see that. All right, now look. I'm reading this from Wikipedia, so it's got to be true. All the tech guys are back in the back giggling. No, listen, because it's true. Watch. Jubilee deals largely with land, property, and property rights. Everybody sit up on the edge of their seat. So when you go to sleep, you fall over and you hit your head. According to Leviticus, slaves and prisoners would be freed, debts would be forgiven, and the mercies of God would be particularly manifested. Everybody got that? Now look, this only applies when the Jewish people live in the land of Israel according to their tribes. They've been scattered and dispersed for years, hundreds, thousands of years they've been dispersed all over the place, right? Amen? So they got to come back to the promised land. So every 7 years, all right, so let's go. See if you can pull up Leviticus, what Brother Dale was talking about this morning. Pull up Leviticus 25. But I want to read you something. Let me tell you, the Bible is perfect. If you got your Bible, turn to Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Now here is Jacob, a type of Christ. All right. Now watch Jacob. Because remember, whatever was bought and everything done, I'm going back to what Brother Dale said. We talk about slaves and owners and all this stuff. It's not like we think, but it proves it right here. Because remember, where did Brother Branham get the revelation of 1 week equals 7 years? He got out of the Bible. Have you not read it? We're fixing to. All right. Genesis 29, you ready? Verse 17. Talking about Jacob finding a bride. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Remember, Leah was older, Israel. Rachel was younger, type of Gentile. But watch what happened. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years. He wasn't in slavery. He was working toward something. He was working toward a wife. Y'all think a year or two of dating? 7 years? Brother Collie, read what it says though. For Rachel, the younger one, but watch. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her.
Glory.
1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years to God. He's not over anxious. He knows when we're going to come, but he is anxious to see us. I'd be anxious to see my bride, wouldn't you? And Jacob served for Rachel for 7 years. Now, how are you going to get 1 week equal 7 years? Look at verse 27. Oh, they got it up here. Fulfill her week. 1 week equals 7 years. Fulfill her week and we will give thee this also for the service. Now remember the story. Keep turning over. Verse 28. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. What was that week? 7 years. 1 week equals 7 years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week and gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife. But remember, the custom was is you couldn't marry the younger before the older got married. So Christ had to marry, hello somebody, Christ had to marry Laban first, the Israel first, then he had to get rid of her to marry Rachel. Hey man, not get rid of her, but divorced her. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, and he went on into Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 more years. In other words, what happened? Laban, he's a con man. Like Brother Ernie Villanueva said, he said that was two con men working against each other. Jacob was a shyster, and Laban was a con man. So they were conning each other. Because remember what happened was, he gave him Rachel, but when he sent him in on the wedding night, it must have been real dark. Because Leah's the one that got in there with Jacob, and he realized it the next morning and said, hey, you give me the wrong woman. And then Laban says, hey, I can't give you the younger without giving you the older first. So Jacob had to work 7 more years. This guy was 14 years before he could have Rachel. But you know what? God needed that bride. He needed me and you. He worked 7 church ages to get to us, you know. Amen? He worked 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened up her womb. But Rachel was barren. Now we know the whole story. But look, fulfill her week. 1 week is 7 years. So Jacob worked 7 years. God worked through 7 church ages. 7 times 7. 7 years for Leah, 7 years for Rachel. But if you put it in our, the way we look at it, 7 times 7 is 49. So he got a natural wife though. But we're talking about spiritual here, so let's look at this. Now I want to show you something. Israel, just for, is everybody okay? Shake yourself just for a minute. All right, look. So every 7 years there was a release. Then you had ever 7 Sabbaths. 7 times 7 equals 49. That's 49 years from one Sabbath, 7 times cycle. It's called a cycle. It's called a Jubilee cycle. If you ever want to look it up, look up Jubilee cycle. All right? But what happens is, here's the whole story. This is what's going to make it all sound good. When you come to the 49th year, can you pull up Leviticus 25:8? We'll wait just a minute. You cheated. He pulled up what Brother Branham, what Brother Dale had this morning. That's fine. That's smart. That's not cheating. That's smart. Now look, Leviticus 25:8, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths, 7 times 7. 49 years. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound. Look, here's your 40. Let's just say this is your 49th year. Well, let's just put this down here. You're on year 49. In your 49th year, in October, not at the first of the year, not at the last of the year, but in October,
right.
And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee. You're not in the Jubilee year yet.
Right.
You got a lap over.
Exactly.
Right. You got a lap over. You got to lap it back. The Jubilee to sound on the 10th day. So on October the 10th, there's going to be a Jubilee.
Right.
Get ready.
Right.
Get ready. in the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hollow the 50th year. You blew the trumpet in October of for 49th year. Then you proclaimed liberty on the 50th year. Now the problem with Israel was they never celebrated that. They celebrated the sevens. Oh yeah, it was easy. Every 7 years you'd let a few people go free. You'd keep a few people. You'd get rid of a little bit of land. You'd have a little bit of land. But on the 50th year, according to the Bible, everybody, poverty and rich, went just like this. And Jews are never going to do that. Not the natural Jew. So they never celebrated that 50th Jubilee. They've never celebrated a natural Jubilee. It's all in history. I've read history. I've read 10 different commentaries. No one has ever said that Israel did what the 50th Jubilee was said to do. And that was to give everything back. Everybody, it doesn't matter if you had 15 cars, but if you bought 5 from this guy, you had to give them 5 back. If you bought 14 horses from this guy, you had to give them 14 horses back so that he had 14 and everything comes equal.
Right.
Well, see, now, that happens to me and you on our 50th year. And you shall hallow the 50th and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee unto you. And you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Now I want to prove something to you right here, real quick, and then we'll close. What Brother Dale was talking about, because it might have been a little strange for some of you, is that when you come to the 49th year, everybody okay with that? The Jubilee trumpet sounded, not the Jubilee. But now remember, you never had a 50th year. The priest counted 7 times 7. When you come up to the 49th year, he said, all right, the next year will be a Jubilee year. But it's not an extra year. Because you couldn't have your 3,430 years, as Brother Ram said, if you had an extra year put in there. This is so good. What was the Jubilee year? It was the first year of the next cycle. So they lapped over. The church ages lapped over. It was a lap over. The problem was Israel celebrated it to right here and stopped. But when they get in the millennium, they're going to celebrate a jubilee. Because when they get in a jubilee, hey, the 12 tribes are not going to, one of them Jews not going to walk around and say, I got more cows than you got. I got more horses than you got. No, they're just going to be happy to be there. So that's why, and you say, well, how can you prove that? Well, you know what? I wasn't smart enough to prove it. The Bible's smart enough to prove it. Because remember, let me get my paperwork out here. Remember, let's turn to Leviticus 25:19. Brothers, if y'all pull up Leviticus 25:19, I'm sorry I'm being a little bit long, but we're going to get this out of the way. And the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if you shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Because remember, you don't plant. You just reap what's already coming. Growing, right? And if ye shall say, what shall eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow or gather in our increase. God said, then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And ye shall sow the 8th year, which is what? That year right there. Now, if there's a 50th year inserted, you go down to the next year. You can't do that. That means you would have to went, roll it back down. Yeah. Then I will command my blessing you on the 6th year, and you shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. 6th, 7th, and 8th. Now, if you had one more year in there, it'd be 4. Bible's perfect. You had to wait 4 years to gather another crop. You can't do that. Listen to what this commentator said. I read, you know what? Sometimes you ought to be able, you ought to just read what people say. Because look, and you shall sow the eighth year and eat of the old fruit until the ninth year, until her fruit comes in of the old store. But you can't stick another year in there because watch. Since the 49th year was already a sabbatical year, the land was required to be left fallow during it. That's why God said 3 years. 6, 7, and 8. Because you had to plant on the 8th. You didn't plant on the 7th. You gathered your harvest on the 7th. You ate of the old, you ate. You didn't plant. You planted on the 8th year. Well, it took one more year to get your crop in. Or 6 months, or not a whole year, but it took longer. Since the 49th year was already a sabbatical year, and the land was required to be left fallow during it, but if the 50th year also had to be kept fallow, you know, if somebody added an extra year besides this coming back to the first year, no new crop would be available for 2 years. And only the summer fruits would be available for the following year, creating a much greater risk of starvation. Now they contend that the Jubilee year was identical with the 49th year. So there's not, you say, what's the problem? What are you talking about? Brother Brown said right here, he said, it's not an eighth day. He said, you go back to the first. It's not a 50th year. You go back to the first. Perfect. Perfect. Brother Bram knew what he was talking about. Of course, obviously the Bible knows what he's talking about. Know what he's talking about. But that's what you call a jubilee cycle. So 7 times 7 is 49. All right, so now, just real quick, what Brother Dale was talking about, the 3,430 years. It'd be 3,500 years if it was 50. 70 times 50, covered this morning. If it was 70 times 50 years, but it's 70 times 49. Then your Jubilee year, see, they never declared it because they never blew the trumpet in October to say this is going to be a Jubilee year. They'd had to give everything back. But it will blow. The Feast of Trumpets will blow in the what? Going into the millennium. And when it blows, it's going to blow and tell us, tell them, not us, that you are now in your Jubilee year. Your land can rest. You know what? Me and you are not going to have to plant. And even in the future home. Brother Brown said, you won't be planting fruit, but now they might be outside. But you're not going to be planting fruit. Listen, it's a rest time, a time of rest for each one of us.
Right.
But that proves to me, you're talking about what Brother Brown was talking about. They said he was wrong. No, he's exactly right. There's no 50th year. It's back to the first year. So you had a Jubilee every 49 years, and when you come to that 50th year, if they didn't blow the trumpet, you just went right on with another 7-year cycle. And that's what they've been doing. 7 times 7 is 49. But when a prophet come and blow the trumpet, he proclaimed that right there, that all can go free. Body, spirit, and soul. Because a lot of, even in the church ages, sure, they went free. They had their Pentecost. They had their time. Amen? But when you come to now, we're at the very end. Ours is not just a 49. We're heading toward the land. The land being made free. This thing right here being made free. Let's stand to our feet. This is what we're looking for. We're pushing toward a body change. We're not pushing toward a new birth. The new birth has never changed. But the new birth, as Brother Dale said last Sunday, the new birth, according to Malachi 4, is not going to just change our inside. It's going to change our outside.
Glory.
It's the 50 years of your land,
right.
The Jubilee of your land to go free.
Amen.
Who the Son has set free,
yeah,
is free indeed. God bless you. I hope that kind of helps you a little bit, because there is no 50th year. But there had to be, on October the 10th of the previous year, there had to be a priest declare the 50th year. And what happened in the Old Testament, they never declared it. Because you know what they did? They walked over that priest and they went, Don't blow that trumpet. I'll lose all my money. In other words, I ain't giving you no money. In other words, here's you some, don't blow that trumpet. Don't you think a Jew would do that? Sure he would if he's sitting there with all the 100 million cattle and all this stuff. You know, I mean, Dad was over there one time. Russ has been there 4 times. Jews are different. They're pretty staunch. They're pretty, you know, we're right here and you're down. Well, you're not even here. You're down like underneath here. You know, the Gentiles, we're just dogs. But they just got to realize one thing. Them dogs are ordained to get out of here before God can come and visit them. Let's sing a song. Let's give these youth a big hand. That's a big youth.
Near the cross, page 205.
What is it?
Near the cross.
Near the cross. What page? What? 205? 205. Let's sing a song just for a minute. Let's just sing a couple of verses if you have a need. I'm a little bit long. I'm sorry, but I wanted to get that where you can keep that in your mind.
Jesus keep me near the cross. Let our precious fountain free to all a healing stream flow. From Calvary's mountain.
Sing it to him. Let's raise our hands.
In the cross.
Jesus was on earth. Like I said, he was there during all those feasts. He would go to the temple. But you remember what happened? They were at the feast of Pentecost when Jesus got lost. Read your Bible. Joseph and Mary went to the feast of Pentecost. They were leaving the feast of Pentecost and they lost Jesus. And Brother Branham said that's where all the denominations left Jesus, was at the day of Pentecost. They lost him. They forgot him. They couldn't find him. But I was just thinking now as we were singing that song. You know, Jesus was there during the Feast of Pentecost, during his life. But remember, no one celebrated that Feast of Pentecost while Jesus was there the way that they were supposed to celebrate it. The Feast of Pentecost happened 50 days after he died. And then the true Pentecost, the true 50 day, was on that day when he came back in the Holy, as the form of the Holy Ghost, and he went into 120 believers. That was the true day of Pentecost. They didn't lose him, they found him. And that's what you and I, we find him on that day of Pentecost, which Penta is 50. So we find him not in a 49, we find him in a 50. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time that we've had to fellowship around your word. Sorry that we were a little bit lengthy, Lord. But we wanted to get the thought so the people can think on it. As Brother Dale brings it so wonderful. As we continue on through this, maybe they'll have a little point in their mind that'll help them through their journey. Father, just be with us. Forgive us of our sins. Bless the ones that are sick, Lord, that are not with us today. Ones that are on the highways, be Brother Bob on his way back, Lord, from ministering your word. Just bless him and be with him and take care of him. Be with each one now as they're on their way home. As the wheels turn, Lord, may they be singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was lost in that 49, but now, Lord, you brought us into a jubilee. A time of release where everything goes free. And you promised it, Lord, that we'll have that in the end time. We will be released from this bondage that we're in. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your word. Bless Brother Russ as he continues on his work day tomorrow, Lord, visiting in Atlanta and his flight on back home, Lord. Just take care of him. Be with his family. Bless them. Be with Brother Dale. Keep him safe. Touch his back. Thank you for being with Brother Jewel, Lord. I pray that you just bring that man out of there. We need him, Lord. We need somebody like that on the field that's solid, that's a true evangelist for your word, Lord. So just raise him up for your honor and glory, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.